Imagine a leaf so powerful it could spark reverence in one corner of the world and bitter arguments in another. A single herb that has journeyed through centuries of human emotion, ritual, and conflict. I'm Megan Brame, and in this episode of The History of Plants, we'll unravel the breathtaking, sometimes shocking, saga of basil, of how this unassuming green leaf has shaped civilizations, sparked spiritual debates, and could even create scorpions, maybe. Get ready to see basil in a whole new light. This isn't just botanical history. This is a human story told through the lens of one extraordinary plant. Part one, the green goddess. First, let's start at the beginning. Indians have cultivated basil for over 5,000 years, naming the plant after a mythological heroine named Tulsi or Tulasi, depending on the story. In India, basil isn't just a common herb, it's a vital part of Ayurvedic medicine and is sacred to the Hindu gods Krishna and Vishnu. During ancient death rituals, priests would often infuse water with tulsi and bathe the deceased body in it, also placing a basil leaf on their chest and in their mouth, helping them on their journey into the divine. Now, the story of tulsi is like a game of honestly, historical telephone, because they were passed down through oral tradition. Everyone seems to agree that she was a chaste woman, but the details after that veer off in different paths. I'm pretty sure any attempt I would make to tell them would end up getting mangled. So I'll link to the stories in the show notes, as those authors give the legends the reverence they deserve much better than I ever could. Regardless of the tale you're told, Tulsi is revered in Hinduism as a goddess and is particularly beloved by women. The life cycle of the holy basil plant is seen as representative of a girl's journey into womanhood. As the basil plant withers, it's said that it represents the loss of a woman's identity after her wedding as she moves into her husband's world and begins a new life. Basil's significance in Indian culture was so massive that British colonial courts would actually let Indians swear oaths on tulsi plants instead of a Bible. Now, let me do a little nerd disclaimer before we go forward. Tulsi most likely refers to holy basil or ossimum sanctum. There's also ossimum basilicum, commonly known as sweet basil, which was also cultivated in India and became a popular herb that traveled through the spice routes. Ancient texts aren't really clear about the differentiation, and honestly, many other subspecies broke off throughout history. So I'm just gonna group basil together as one going forward, but you should most likely assume that we're talking about sweet basil, since that's more prominent in contemporary recipes of the places it ended up in. Okay, enough disclaimers. Now back to the important parts. Basil made its way through the Middle East and the Western world through the spice routes. Ancient texts, including manuscripts from Egypt, show that it was used not just as a seasoning, but was also highly valued for its aromatic qualities. Egyptian priests would use it in embalming rituals as an offering to the gods to ensure a safe journey into the afterlife for the deceased. It's believed that Alexander the Great took notice of the herb's significance and began importing it around 350 BCE into Greece. And that's where the story gets a little weird. Part two, the Greeks and basil. First, let's talk about the name basil. Scholars are divided on where this name comes from. Some believe it's linked to the Greek word basilis, meaning king. Since king of the herbs is one of basil's nicknames, this kind of tracks. Ancient Greeks also believed that only the king should be the one to harvest basil, and he should do it with a golden sickle. But there is another school of thought that believes basil is derived from the word basilisk, which is a creature that was so fearsome it could kill a person simply by its breath or even a glance. With basil's strong aroma? Yeah, that kind of tracks too. Sometime throughout its cultivation in ancient Greece, the sentiment towards this herb began to take a turn. It starts to be thought of as only being able to grow on lands that were full of poverty, abuse, and hatred. If you wanted to successfully grow it, Greek farmers said that you needed to swear and rant at the seeds because somehow this produced a growth reaction in the cells. So, if your basil plant isn't growing, maybe tell it how much it sucks every once in a while and see what happens. Now, let's fast forward to 4th century CE. The Roman Empire is transforming, Christianity is emerging from the shadows, and at the center of this epic moment stands Helena, the mother of the Emperor Constantine. And she is a woman on a mission that would echo throughout the centuries. Helena wasn't just any royal pilgrim. She was a relic hunter with a purpose, scouring the Holy Land for objects of what she believed to be profound spiritual significance. And in a moment that sounds more like divine poetry than historical fact, she allegedly discovers something extraordinary. Basil, growing at the site of the crucifixion. Just take a moment and imagine the scene, right? We are at the ground where this ultimate sacrifice has occurred. And there, pushing through the earth, are delicate basil leaves, becoming a symbol of life emerging from a place of profound suffering. Going back to the ancient Greeks' belief, this discovery transforms basil in Greek Orthodox culture. No longer just an herb, it becomes a sacred plant and a living connection to the most pivotal moment in Christian theology. The Feast of the Cross would never be the same. In Greek Orthodox tradition, basil became more than a plant. It became a symbol, a ritual object, and a bridge between earth and heaven. It's, you know, it's one of those historical stories that makes you wonder, if the story is true, then was it a coincidence, divine intervention, or is it just another example of the remarkable way that nature weaves itself into human narratives? Part 3, love, protection, palsy, and Satan. Let me take you on a worldwide journey of basil, an herb so powerful that it dances between love and the supernatural, between protection and pure magic. In Italy, sweet basil was associated with love, and a woman who wanted to advertise her availability to potential suitors would place a pot of basil on her windowsill. Romania took romance to another level. If a girl places a sprig of basil under her pillow, she's almost guaranteed to get a supernatural preview of her future husband. And if a man accepts a sprig of basil from a woman, congratulations, you're basically engaged. Traveling west to Portugal, you'll find a unique tradition. Sweethearts would present a pot of dwarf basil, or Ossuma Minimum, alongside a heartfelt poem and a little pom-pom during the religious celebrations of St. John and St. Anthony. It was considered a sweet gesture for sweethearts. Over in West Africa, Ossuma Gratissimum, or African basil, plays a much more protective role. It's believed that placing basil near the front door will ward off negative energies. This protective symbolism traveled across the ocean with enslaved Africans, evolving further into the New World. In Haiti, basil became sacred to Azurli Danter, the goddess of love, while in Santeria traditions, it found home in purification rituals and luck baths. In Jewish traditions, wearing a garland of basil is thought to fortify the spirit during fasting. Its strong aroma is believed to be so potent that it can trick the body into feeling full, making it a powerful ally during periods of self-restraint. And how could we forget the wisdom of Hildegard von Bingen? This German herbalist and mystic, later canonized as the patron saint of musicians and writers, insisted that if someone suffering from palsy placed basil under their tongue, they would regain their ability to speak. Now that's a magical remedy, but not everyone loved basil. European folklore painted it as a symbol of Satan himself. In a curious twist of logic, sprigs of basil were recommended for hanging at windows to keep the devil at bay. One might wonder how this works, using the tool of the devil to keep him away? But you know, folklore doesn't often bend to reason. And just when you thought basil's story couldn't get weirder, there's the scorpions. Part 4, scorpions and the European herbalists. For some reason, basil has this long storied history as being associated with scorpions. It could be due to the theory that the word derives from basilisk, but even that's a little suspect. In African folklore, basil is thought to fend off scorpions, a belief that resonates with the protective powers attributed to the herb. Meanwhile, in Iranian culture, mountain basil, known as Rayhan, is said to possess the incredible ability to actually kill scorpions. John Gerard, the English herbalist, had a simple solution for scorpion stings. Got stung? Eat some basil! Medieval WebMD at its finest. But when we dive into the beliefs of other Western herbalists, things truly get bizarre. John Parkinson, an English herbalist in the 16th century, claimed that when basil was, quote, gently handled, it gave off a pleasant smell. But if you wrung or bruised it too harshly, expect it to, quote, breed scorpions. He also said, quote, It is also observed that scorpions do much rest and abide under these pots and vessels wherein basil is planted," end quote. Then we have a 16th century Flemish doctor, likely John Baptist van Helmont, who concocted an even wilder theory. He believed that if you crushed basil between two bricks, it would create a scorpion. This most likely is just another victim of the telephone game, originating in Southern Europe, where scorpions were sometimes found under stones. But as that factoid made its way up to Belgium, well, yeah, two bricks plus one basil equals scorpion. But wait, we haven't even gotten to St. Hilary of Poitiers, later known as Hilarius, or Hilarius, if you're being cheeky. Oh, Hilarius, you're about to blow our minds with scorpion madness so intense, it'll make these other theories look like scientific textbooks. I will get to them in a second, but trust me, they are bananas. Part 5, the Great Basil Debate. Basil's history is, it's full of headaches. I mean, even its usefulness has been a source of contention for centuries. On one side, we have the enthusiasts. Now, besides being a staple in Ayurvedic medicine, basil is also a key player in traditional Chinese medicine. It's also currently being studied for its potential in managing diabetes and is believed to have antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties. But I say believed because, you know, the FDA has a knack for being picky about these kind of claims, and I am not here to court their scrutiny. Then we have the skeptics. The Ministry of Agriculture even published a bulletin declaring that basil was, quote, now of little or no importance, end quote. An entire bulletin. And you thought the internet was full of ridiculousness. Rather than unravel all of the conflicting opinions myself, let's hear from someone who actually had a lot to say on the subject, Nicholas Culpepper. Culpepper was an English medical doctor, botanist, and astrologer extraordinaire. In 1652, he published The English Physician, known later as The Complete Herbal. But he didn't stop there. In 1655, he released Astrological Judgment of Diseases from the Decumbiture of the Sick, a guide to medical astrology that has nothing to do with basil. I just thought it sounded cool and needed you to know that it exists. Okay, back to The Complete Herbal. I'm gonna drop in some AI voices here so that I can interject a little bit. In the book, Culpepper says, quote,
"This is the herb which all authors are together by the ears about and rail at one another like lawyers."
Translation, everybody's fighting about basil and no one can agree on anything.
Galen and Dioscorides hold it not fit to be taken inwardly, and Chrysippus rails at it with downright Billingsgate rhetoric. Pliny and the Arabian physicians defend it. For my own part, I presently found that speech true, non nostrum inter nos tantas componere lit.
Which translates to, 'tis not for us to end such great disputes. He continues,
"And away to Dr. Reason went I, who told me it was an herb of Mars, and under the scorpion, and perhaps therefore called basilican. And it is no marvel if it carry a kind of virulent quality with it, being applied to the place bitten by venomous beasts, or stung by a wasp or hornet, it speedily draws the poison to it. Every like draws his like. Isaldus affirms that being laid to rot in horse dung, it will breed venomous beasts."
And now, as promised, Hilarius.
Hilarius, a French physician, affirms upon his own knowledge that an acquaintance of his, by common smelling to it, had a scorpion bred in his brain.
Let's just sit with that a moment, shall we? A French physician, who later became a saint, was 100% sure he knew a guy who had a scorpion develop in his brain because he took a whiff of a basil plant. Quote,
"Something is the matter. This herb and rue will not grow together, no nor near one another. And we know rue is as great an enemy to poison as any that grows. To conclude, it expels both birth and afterbirth. And as it helps the deficiency of Venus in one kind, so it spoils all her actions in another. I dare write no more of it."
This isn't just an herb. It is now officially a botanical soap opera. Just imagine this plant. This herb that's maybe growing on your windowsill right now carries centuries of medical drama, scientific controversy, and pure unfiltered chaos. It has inspired such fervor and strong opinions that one of the leading botanists of his day was like, maybe it does something, maybe it doesn't. I don't know, I'm out. Part 6, giving basil its flowers. So there you have it, the crazy story of basil. From sacred Indian rituals to medieval European superstitions, from love charms to scorpion myths, basil isn't just a plant. It is a living, breathing narrative of human culture. Each leaf carries centuries of human imagination. Every sprig is a testament to how deeply we weave meaning into the natural world around us. Think about it. This humble herb has survived religious transformations, cultural migrations, scientific debates, and centuries, centuries of wild speculation. And here it is, sitting in our kitchens, on our windowsills, a quiet survivor of countless human stories. Basil's story just goes to show you that there is no such thing as a boring plant. Plants are not just silent witnesses to our history, they are an intricate part of it. They're wrapped up in our cultures, our superstitions, and even our fears. So the next time you sit in front of a plate of pesto, maybe check for scorpions or a wedding proposal. As always, my sources are linked in the show notes for those who want to take a deeper dive. Feel free to join me in the episode commentary on Patreon or subscribe to my YouTube channel, Plantrums, for even more plant love. I'm Megan Brame. Thanks for joining me on this episode of The History of Plants. Until next time, greenies, stay curious and don't forget to flourish.